Please join me in a moment of prayer. Holy and gracious God, now we pray that your Spirit, that Spirit of truth, that Spirit of love, that Spirit of life, would open our eyes and our ears, our lives to your teaching. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Since we're just about halfway through our walk through the Lord's Prayer this summer, I thought we might actually start out with something a little bit different today. I want you to channel your inner Casey Kasem and sing a verse or two of the only gospel song that ever hit number one on the U.S. pop chart. Okay? Wait a minute. Why the quizzical looks? Because you don't know who Casey Kasem is? No, here's that guy who you know for years and years and years. He ran that weekly radio program called America's Top 40. They counted down the most popular songs in the country from number 40 to number one. Is it because you don't know what a radio is? Check your phone. Is it because you don't know what the only gospel song ever to hit number one on the U.S. pop charts was? Yeah. Let's see. Was it Elvis Presley singing How Great Thou Art? No. That was well-loved, but it never managed to work its way up the pop chart. How about 1969's Oh Happy Day by the Edwin Hawkins Singers? That only made it to number three. 1971, Put Your Hand in the Hand of the Man. Any of you remember that? That peaked at number two. Nope, the only gospel song to ever make it to number one was way back when, well, before I was born, 1958. A 14-year-old English boy named Lori London hit number one and stayed at number one for four whole weeks singing, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. I kid you, I trust you know those words. Let's see if we can sing a couple of verses of that song together. He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the itty bitty baby in his hands. He's got the itty bitty baby in his hands. He's got the itty bitty baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And you folks don't think you know pop music. Oh. But as memorable as those words in that song obviously are, they beg a question. Do we actually believe that God has the whole world in his hands? Now, I have no doubt that some of you would answer that question with a resounding yes, of course I do. Why else would I be here at church on a beautiful summer day like today if I didn't believe that God has the whole world in his hands? Perhaps others of you might respond, yeah, I'm here, but sometimes I'm not so sure. There's so much trouble and pain in this world, including in my little corner of it. Sometimes it seems like nobody's got the whole world in his hands. Let's leave that thought there for just a couple of minutes. We'll call time out and look at this morning's Bible text that Jerry read for us. No, we'll come back to it, but for now, time out. What is this? This is week 5 of our walk through the Lord's Prayer, right? We've already tackled our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Which means we're up to give us this day our daily bread. Actually, take a moment to turn that phrase over in your mind. Give us this day our daily bread. It's fairly simple, isn't it? Give us this day our daily bread, but maybe, just maybe, this is the most perilous of all the petitions in the whole of the Lord's Prayer. Really, this is a dangerous prayer. At least dangerous for us. You see, right off the bat, there's that word give. And give is nothing but trouble. Because it shifts the focus of the Lord's Prayer directly back on us. So far in this prayer, everything has been focused on God, what God wants, what God needs, what God deserves. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But all of a sudden, it's what we want, what we need, what we deserve, what we demand even. Give us this day our daily bread. Quickly can dissolve into gimme, gimme, gimme. You see, the give in, give us this day our daily bread, it tempts us to go right back to worshiping the God that we worship most of the time with most of our lives. Me, myself, and I. But then, right after the word give, there are the words us and our. Us and our, they kind of temper the whole gimme, gimme spirit. They're a reminder that we are not alone in our journeys through life. We are part of the human community and we are part of the people of God. Lest we think too highly of ourselves, give us this day our daily bread invites us to see who I am in relation to who you are and who we are. And who God is. A couple of months back now, some of you will remember that we had this PJ's book club meeting. We were talking about the book Justice. And Justice included a chapter on libertarianism, which is basically an economic theory that says what's mine is mine and I can do whatever the heck I want with what I have. Regardless of what you think. But that book reminded us that we are only human when we're in community. That none of us is an island unto ourselves, and that all of us in a certain way are accountable to and reliant upon others. Even as this prayer in part is a reminder that we are part of we and a part of the people of God. You see, it may well be last Tuesday, what did we celebrate? The 4th of July, Independence Day, our Declaration of Independence, an assertion of our personal and communal and national liberty, and we love are assertions of independence. But every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're praying a declaration of dependence, acknowledging our utter dependence on, our needfulness of both God and one another. But now here's to me where this prayer really gets tricky. Give. Give us. Give us this day. This day. There's a phrase that'll call us up short. You see, for the most part, we don't want this day's bread. We want this month's bread. Or maybe this year's bread. Or maybe a lifetime supply of bread, no? What we want is enough bread, enough so that we don't have to worry, enough so that we can give some to those we love, enough so that we can share some with our neighbors, enough so that maybe we can even give to others in need. But that word enough, that's another one of those treacherous, perilous places. Because what's enough for you may not be enough for me, or vice versa. Ben and Jerry's ice cream. You know the stuff? Yep. A couple of years back, Ben and Jerry's was giving away a year's supply of Chunky Monkey ice cream to its customers as part of some contest. And contest winners, while initially overjoyed that they'd won, they found themselves quickly wondering, what is a year's supply of Chunky Monkey ice cream? It turns out by federal regulation, a year's supply may not guarantee the abundance that one assumes that it does. It's up to the company, according to federal regulation, it's up to the company supplying the prize to reasonably determine what constitutes a year's supply. And there's no guarantee that what's provided would last the average customer 52 days, let alone 52 weeks. In the case of Ben and Jerry's, they determined that a year's supply is 52 pints. Of Chunky Monkey ice cream, which the typical family of three might say, perfect, but which the single young woman with a craving for chocolate and a boyfriend who just dumped her may think, great, but what am I supposed to eat next week? Right? Enough is an entirely subjective term. But Jesus doesn't invite us to pray for enough bread. He invites us to pray for daily bread. Enough for today. Aware that tomorrow we'll be asking for tomorrow's bread. And that the day after that we'll be asking for the day after that's bread. And so on and so on and so on. To pray for daily bread, to pray daily for bread, may seem dangerous and inefficient. For it demands that we stay awake and pay attention to what's needful at this moment and let our concerns for tomorrow go until tomorrow and be alert to what is truly sufficient and needful for today. To be attuned to what exactly is enough. And then finally, at the end of this petition, we get to the word bread itself. Actually, this bread word needs no further explanation from me because we spent the last 4 weeks now reviewing Martin Luther's explanation for what daily bread is in the context of our communion litany. You see, in the small catechism, Dr. Luther is once asked, he asked the question, what is daily bread? And he says that daily bread includes everything we need for life in this world. Food and clothing, home and property, work and income, a devoted family, orderly communities, good government, favorable weather, peace and health, good reputations, true friends and neighbors. In other words, every good and needful thing in life, every good and needful thing, everything, both tangible and intangible, is a gift from God. A good gift from God. Even when we earn it, it's still a gift from God. Even when we own it, it's still a gift from God. Even when we don't appreciate it, it's still a gift from God. It's all a gift from God. Because life itself is a precious, fragile gift. A gift that wouldn't be ours if we were left to our own devices. In other words, he's got the whole world in his hands. Let's see if we can sing that one more time, like we mean it. He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And that, my friends, is why we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Amen.